heart of the people in this building and the people that we serve. This message that I want to share with you today, as I have always said, you cannot exhaust God, you can't exhaust His Word, you cannot get through everything that you would like to get through in a single setting, and you can't get through everything you'd like to do in a 20 or 30 minute window. So maybe we can get kindly the overview of this scripture that I want to share with you this morning. The scripture is found in Mark chapter number 2, verses 1 through 12. And for the benefit of those that's been following us the last few days, my dear friend Kay Leonard busted my bubble after Wednesday night or Sunday night service last week. She told me they already have a remote Bluetooth plug that goes on your crock pot, and you can turn it off from wherever you're at. I thought I'd come up with a wonderful invention. And you can get them on Amazon for $39.99. So now we know. I must have been in the flesh on that one and not in the spirit. The scripture opens up in Mark chapter 2 where there's an event that takes place. This is not a parable, and it's not an allegory. It is an actual event that took place in the day in the life of Jesus. And as this opens up, we can see here in the scripture where the Bible says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why do this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves. Now let me put a pause right there. Jesus knew their thoughts. He knew their thinking. And the Bible said, and he reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason you these in your heart, these things in your heart? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And verse 12 says, and 3 hours and 46 seconds later, he finally decided to get up to go to his own home. No. There's something about an instantaneous touch of God when you get into the presence of Jesus. And immediately he arose, took up his bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Stretch your hands this way. Father, we love you and honor and praise you and thank you, God. I thank you, Father God, that you, O God, have already been in this room here today. Father, I pray, God, that, Lord, as we walk through this message this morning, God, that the Holy Spirit would work in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls in this place. Father, I thank you, God, for the anointing of the Spirit of God that I've already sensed in this room and what we've already experienced here today. But God, I pray that you, Lord, would set a guard about my mouth, O God, today, that I would only speak that would be permittable in your hearing and in your sight, that would bring glory and honor to your name. Father, I pray, God, that even now that you would touch us and help us, O God, and open up the eyes of our understanding that we might see as you would have us to see and learn from the Word of God what you would have us to learn. In Christ's name I pray, amen and amen. Again, I probably won't be able to dig everything out of this morning that I've studied and what would need to be said. So I'll be able to say only what I feel like that God would permit us to do within the time frame of the morning. When you begin to look at this scripture, as I've already stated, Jesus entered in verse number 1, into this town of Capernaum. And the Bible says that it was noised abroad. And when I began to think about that word, noised abroad, I began to think about how that a testimony would spread, or how news of an event would spread from one person to the next. How that there was a lot of chatter going on in the town of Capernaum. Maybe they were saying that Jesus is coming to town and he's on his way, and maybe there were some forerunners out in front of the fact that Jesus would be coming into that city. And all the people may have been in their own hearts and in their own minds had been dealing with the fact that Jesus was coming. And Sandra, I can just think in my own mind how that might have played out. Maybe one person would look at another person and they would say words like this: have you heard? Have you heard? Heard what? Have you heard that Jesus of Nazareth is coming to town? See, news spreads. Now, I don't know why it's being said, and there's an old cliche and says that bad news travels fast. I don't know if bad news travels faster than good news. I have no idea. But as they heard that Jesus was coming to town, I wondered in my own mind, what was it that they were hearing? What was it that they heard as the chatter began to be heard that Jesus was coming? Well, again, I don't know what was said. I wasn't there, neither were you. But commentary said that what was getting ready to take place in chapter 2 had not yet taken place. So they had to be looking at what already had taken place. They had looked at history. They had looked at the history and the life of Jesus. We concluded Wednesday night, I believe it was, on the note that he'll do it again. He'll do it again. What Jesus had done in previous cities, previous towns, previous situations, previous events, they were expecting him to do it again. And there was an expectancy that was building in the life of the people. What would it be like today if we all really, really, truly had an expectancy of what would take place when Jesus came to town? I think it would turn this city upside down. I think it would turn the world upside down. Aren't these those that turned the world upside down? Were not these in the New Testament, those men and those that they looked upon and they thought that they were just simple men, but the Bible said they thought that they were ignorant and unlearned men? But the Bible said that they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. So I took an adventure and I kindly went back to chapter number 1 a little bit. And again, I'm not going to take the time to share everything in chapter number one of the book of Mark, but you can kindly look back through there. So in chapter number one, we can see that where in verse 21, the Bible says, "And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered and he taught in the synagogue. And that they were all astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority." He is the King of Kings, right? He is the Lord of Lords, right? "And he was in the synagogue and he taught them. And he preached the word unto them." I don't know what Jesus preached there that day, but as Jesus preached with great authority and great power, the next verse begins to teach us of what was in that room. And that is one thing that I pondered on just a little bit. That when the word of God goes forth and the preaching goes forth, I don't know what Jesus was preaching, and I know there was other places that Jesus preached out of Isaiah 61 and out of Luke chapter number 10, I believe it was, or Luke 4, I believe it is. I'll look later. But it said that when Jesus was preaching, that Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to heal those that are bruised and heal those that are wounded. That might have been the message that Jesus preached there on that occasion. Again, we're not going to turn there right now and look at it. We might look at it a little bit later. That's Isaiah 6 and 1 and Luke 4 and 18. We'll look at it later. But we can see the things that took place in verse 23. That as Jesus Christ spoke with authority as one not of the scribes, the Bible says that in verse 23, that there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And the Bible said, and he cried out. Now, I hate to be so dramatic sometimes in my preaching and what I do, but you could only imagine the events in Jesus' life as Jesus encountered different ones throughout the gospel. As we've read, when there was one in the tombs and there was those in the tombs that would come and they would cry out. They would cry out and approach Jesus and say, "Jesus, thou Son of God, what have we to do with thee?" And Jesus encountered this one, the Bible said, that had an unclean spirit. And when an unclean spirit gets in the presence of Christos, Christos is the Greek, the anointed one. Those unclean spirits begin to get a little bit nervous. Even in our church today, when people come to church and they wiggle and they squirm and they don't know what's going on, it's because the thing that's eating at you on the inside may be wanting healing. Maybe what's going on the inside of you, that God is wanting to do a marvelous work in your life. At this time, the Bible said that this man that had this unclean spirit, the Bible says that he cried out in verse 24. What did they cry? What did they cry out? It's there in the verse of the scripture. And this is what they said as Jesus was there, as Jesus was preaching. They cried out with a loud voice, you said, saying, "Let us alone. Just let us stay in the condition that we're in. Just let us be as we've always been." Do you and I know today that how many people in our world today are hurting? How many people are drug addicted? How many people are doing all kinds of evil and wicked works in our world today? And they see the church, just like Amy was saying, they see the church come alive. And the world is saying, "Just leave us alone." We talk about warfare and spiritual warfare, which I've not studied that for this morning. But anytime, I promise you, listen close. Anytime a church begins to start experiencing the move of the Holy Ghost, anytime a church starts moving in the atmosphere of revival, I promise you every demon in town is going to get upset and every demon in town is going to start crying, "Just leave us alone." But I want to tell you something, friend. This is my heart. If you was preaching it, you preach it the way you want to. But I've got a heart for revival. I've got a heart for the move of God. I got a heart to see people delivered and set free from all kinds of wickedness and all kinds of addictions and all kinds of things that's holding people bound. I want to tell you, the only thing that I believe is going to be the answer for the world's problems today is when Jesus shows up. If man could do it, we would be doing it man's way. But I prayed in this sanctuary this week, God, all throughout time, we've seen your anointing show up. We've seen the Holy Ghost show up. We've seen the anointing of God all throughout the scripture. If there was any other way for other than the anointing for it to get done, it would have been done that way in the Bible. But all throughout the scripture, we've seen that it was done in the power of the anointing. Somebody said, well, the anointing is a little bit radical for me, and it's just a little bit radical for me. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. I view it like this. We need to be radical, not just for the sake of being radical, but we need to be radical in the anointing, because in the scripture we see where Jesus was anointed of the Holy Ghost and he went about doing good and healing them that are sick of all manner of diseases. We see that in Acts 10 and 38. So don't get disturbed when the anointing of the Lord begins to show up. We begin to move in the power of the Spirit. We see this again where Jesus, in verse 24, art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, I can only imagine in the back of my mind. Jesus there and the authority of Jesus and the power of God upon him as the Son of the living God. When this demon come and this demon was beginning to cry out, I can only imagine Jesus. Now this is not in the Bible, so don't send me a letter. Don't send me an email. Don't call me. And I can almost imagine in the back of my mind that Jesus looked back at that itsy bitsy teensy weensy good for nothing, low down, sorry demon that was tormenting this man. Ah, shut up! Now that's not in the Bible. Y'all didn't like it, did you? Some of you need to tell the devil to shut up. So you ain't supposed to say that. Our children's not supposed to hear words like that. Well, you need to teach them what it means. Just shut up. Maybe those voices in your head, maybe those things that's going in your mind like a recording today, over and over and over and over and over and over. Why don't you just rise up in the power of the Holy Ghost and say, just let me alone. Jesus, when he done that, he said, hold thy peace. That's Jesus' word in the King James. Hold your peace. My words in the CAG translation is just shut up. Just be quiet. So we see that where Jesus encountered this demonic power and spirit, and the Bible said, and come out of him. You think, well, that's a little bit radical to you. Do you really believe today that people are demon possessed? Do you believe today that people really do have demons in them? Do you believe today that people are really filled with the devil? Have you been in town lately? Have you been out and about lately? Sherry and I, we can go in town or we can go out or whatever, and you just see things. And I don't think everything I see is in the power, Brother Barney, of the Spirit of the anointing of discernment. But you can just see things. And you think, if people could just get free, if people can just get delivered. I mean, I see it all the time, and you do too. See, if you go on down deeper in this verse of scripture, you can see that this is the encounters that Jesus had. Jesus encountered demon spirits. He encountered that. And again, if I had time, I would tell you what Jesus told them in Mark 16. In the latter part of Mark 16 and Matthew 28. As he sends them on the Great Commission. And I just got checked by the Holy Ghost. Said, why do you not have time? That's why you're here. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Look at this. Look at this. Hey, I've already blowed it this morning anyway. I've done told you that I don't have this mechanism you can just turn your crock pot off with. I done blowed it anyway. But this is what he says in the Word. He said, if you look at this in the Great Commission of Mark, Matthew says it a little different. But this is what he sends these disciples out. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. That's not my words. That's King James. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. In my name, verse 17, shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. We could quit right there, and we've had church. This is what they were witnessing when Jesus came to town. Now, I know if I was going to do the conclusion of that verse, I would say, and Jesus commissioned that early church, filled them with the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2, and we today are that church that's filled with the Spirit to go forth in the power and demonstration of the Spirit to do exactly what Jesus left the church to do. And I should get an amen, at least a grunt right there. So what did they witness? Oh, let me read on. This is, again, chapter number 1 when we see this in the Scripture. And it said, let me go. I'm not going to take the time for all of it. But verse 34, and I'll go this. It says, verse 33, and all the city was gathered together at the door. This was at Peter's, Simon's wife's mother lay sick. And it says, if you look at that, immediately the fever left her. And it says, and even at the end of the day, in verse 32, it says, they brought unto them him all that were diseased and them that were possessed of the devils. What a healing campaign that was. What a healing campaign that was. And it says, and all the city was gathered together at the door. All the city of Capernaum was able to witness what happened when Jesus comes to town. And then you see this in the Word, how the Bible says that these demons, all those that was diseased, diseased, separate that word, diseased. And it says, and them that were possessed by devils, all the city was gathered together. Look at verse 34. And he healed many of them of the sick, and many that were sick of diverse diseases, many, several diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. Wow. Wow. They knew him. That's what happened when Jesus came. So you leave there, you get into chapter number 2. When you open up chapter number 2, and the Bible says that it was noised abroad in verse number 1, what was noised abroad? Did you hear what Jesus did when Jesus was over on the other side of the town? I mean, there was people that was demon-possessed. There was people that were filled with all kinds of diseases. And when Jesus came to town, all the diseases went away. All the people were healed. And all those that was filled with demonic spirits, my friend, they began to cry out against Jesus. And Jesus even was able to silence the devil. And then we get into this chapter number 1, and we see this. It was noised abroad that Jesus was in the house. So there's several things right there that I want to mention, and I won't exhaust this. I promise I won't. Just a few things that I want to mention. 6 things that I saw real fast as I read through this. First of all, when I saw this, we see this, that it was noised abroad that he was in the house. So what is it that's going to bring, second thing, what is it today that's going to bring deliverance to the captives? And this is why I didn't want to get too far ahead just a few minutes ago. So what did Jesus do? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Second thing we pick up on is simply this, that Jesus preached the Word. The preached Word. If the Word won't do it, it's not going to get done. So I don't know this, but I mentioned it a few minutes ago. But I think I've got the right place. It's in Luke 4, verse number 18, I believe it is. It is the rendering of Isaiah 61, which we're not going to turn there. But in Luke chapter 4 and verse number 18, it's where the Bible says that Jesus was preaching that day. And what Jesus was preaching was that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. If there's ever been a day and an hour that the church needs not to wane away in its power, shrivel up and die and curl up in a corner somewhere and cry, it's the day and the hour that we're living in. If there's ever been a day and a time and an hour that the true church of the living God needs to stand up, put her armor on, square her shoulders, and declare to a lost and to a dying world that Jesus Christ is still who He was in the beginning, He still is now. I believe that. I believe that with everything within me. When we look here in the Word of God, and Jesus even said that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. I can only imagine in the back of my mind as Jesus stood up there in the synagogue under the unction, the function, if you will, under the power of the Holy Ghost, and He looked those demons in the eye and He said, "Hey, boys, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." You say, "Well, that's a little prideful. That's a little cocky." If anybody says I'm prideful and cocky, they don't know me. But I want to tell you one thing. I know what it is to stand up in the power of God and to tell sin, "You shall no longer have dominion over me." If you're ever going to get victory over your sin, you got to plant your feet, square your shoulder, scream at the top of your lungs, "No more! No more! No more! No more!" We cannot allow that in the day and the hour that we're living in if we're going to live victorious in the day and the hour. Quit petting your snake. That was another message about 3 weeks ago. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. He says, "He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." I wonder how many people under the sound of my voice this morning, oh God, would fit into a category here today. If that is you today, I have good news for you that Jesus Christ is coming your way just as He did in the Scripture. And I believe if you'll cry out to Him today that, "God, there's a healer in the house," as Tim Hill sings that song, "There's a healer in the house," and I believe that He is here to do whatever needs to be done in your life. I believe that. I believe that with everything within me. He preached the word unto them. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. As He preached the word, their faith built. And then we can see here in the Scripture, as He preached, there was no room. The room filled up. Wouldn't that be awesome? To have no more room in the church where we had to get folding chairs and take a ticket and stand in line. We'll get to you in a few minutes. Wouldn't that be amazing today? And then, as we see in verse number 3, the Bible said they come unto Him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. Now, there's a couple of different ways to look at that. First of all, they had faith to believe that Jesus was going to do what Jesus said He was going to do. And I believe that that is the way that the Scripture intended that to be read. But there's also those situations where they might have possibly said that this man had been here all these many, many years, all these years, nobody's been able to help him. This is a pitiful, hopeless situation. We use the term in modern vernacular, he's too far gone. Maybe when they thought about this man, maybe they thought that this man was too far gone. But maybe in the back of their mind, maybe they, Brother Steve, they folded their hands and they looked at Jesus in an inquisitive manner, whereby they looked at him and said, I wonder what he's going to do with this one. Now, I don't know that. But I look at our world today and I look at what's going on in our world today. And so many people are saying, I wonder what he's going to do now, preacher. Look at this situation now. What are you going to do now? I'm just going to let Jesus fix it. Hello, somebody? Just let Jesus come to town. Let Jesus take care of it. The Bible said he was born of four. I thought about another thing there. Maybe those that was around him was his brothers. I don't know. I have no clue. Maybe it was four strangers that took the time to help this man with the understanding that whatever he did there, he can do here. That God can turn it around. I don't know how that worked out. But I will say it like this, because of how that I read that and understood it. He was one of four. And there are times, even though you've got family all around you, there's times when family can't even help you. There are times that it's going to take nothing but the power of Jesus Christ in your life. Because when you look at this scripture, verse number four, and you look forward in this, we can see that how that was this sickness there, something that was going to teach, that it was a test. Or was it to teach? Was it to teach them that God is much more than what this man was dealing with? And it said they could not come nigh unto the press, so they uncovered the roof. Again, they made a way where there seemed to be no way. They done the most unusual thing, because they were determined to get this man to Jesus, because they knew that it was noised abroad what Jesus had done in other places. And if Jesus can do it there, and if Jesus could do it then, Jesus can do it now, and Jesus can do it here. I believe that. This is not my notes, it's nowhere, but in my heart. I wonder how many people in this room will just say, Pastor, there's a situation in my life or in my family. There's a situation that I know of. And I'd just like to see Jesus do something in this situation. Raise your hand at me. Look around. Look around you. Every person by the lifting of the hand today, and for those of you watching online, just about everybody raised their hand, as so did you. Because everywhere you turn today, there's needs. Everywhere you look today, there's needs. Here's the thing I thought of when I thought about this. Brother Steve, these four guys, I don't know who they was. I have no idea. But they were so determined not to leave this man in the shape that they found him in, that they done what seemed to be impossible to get him to Jesus, even to the fact that they overcame the obstacles that was in front of them. In our church today and in our lives today, what seems like impossibilities, God, Sandra, will make a way where there seems to be no way. God will work with impossibilities to make possibilities out of impossibilities. I don't know how God does that, because I didn't get up this morning and sign my signature G-O-D. I didn't do that. God's the one that has to do that. But they found this man and they began to tear away the roof. They made a way for this man to get to Jesus. The way was cleared. Jody, you can come. The way was cleared in order for them to get this man to Jesus. And again, I'm not done. I told you earlier I wouldn't get done. They made a way to get this man to Jesus. Listen. This is not in my notes, it's in my heart. My notes is what I write in my quiet time at home when I'm studying by myself. But listen to me, Thomasville, for just a minute. We got quite a few new faces coming into this church right now. I try to remember names. I try to remember faces. I had asked Pam yesterday what her name was. This is Pam. Now I know. A few people I'm still learning. I don't know where Pam come from. Me and her's not had that conversation, but she found out somehow to come to Thomasville Church of God. I hope I'm not embarrassing you. She found out somehow to come to Thomasville Church of God. And somebody else might tell somebody else. And I'm thinking in my own mind, in my own heart today, that as it's noised abroad, when people hear about God moving at a certain place, let us be the hands and feet of Jesus to be able to facilitate the move of God. And we got to be careful how we carry the anointing. We got to be careful how we carry the ark. Is that not a biblical principle, Brother West? You don't put it on a new cart. You carry it. You carry that anointing. You conduct yourself in a manner that will glorify God. And you do it the way God said to do it. But my situation was this. They helped this man get to Jesus. And I have to quit right there. I'll pick back up on it maybe tonight. Who are we helping to get to Jesus? That's my whole point. Thomasville Church of God, who are we helping to get to Jesus? I love good services. I love good shouting. I love good music. I love it all. I love it all. I love it all. But you get all of that and all that and all that. If it ain't getting people to Jesus, we're in trouble. We've always said we'll accept who God sends us. We've always said that. We've always said, God, if you'll send them, we'll do everything we can to help them get to you. But Steve, there was obstacles in the way. They got up there, they tore away the roof, and then they began to let this man down. Jody, I thought in my own mind, what an unusual scene that would have been. Jesus standing there preaching in the synagogue, and all of a sudden there's a crack, 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 and a little dirt begins to fall, and a few pieces of straw begins to fall, and they're wondering, what in the world is going on now? All of a sudden, Jesus was preaching, and he looked up, and here this man comes down with a rope at each corner of his bed, right in the presence of Jesus. Which to me simply means this, that it may not always be as it's always been. And it may not always look like it's always looked like. The point is that they got him to Jesus. And don't misunderstand the preacher, because I know how we are. We're so accustomed to everything being done, and we're not even Methodist. We're not technically Baptist, technically. We're not Presbyterians or Anglican. But we too have ways of doing things the way that we are accustomed to doing things. So we are very consistent in our methodology, our ways. But what happens when change takes place? It stretches us and it challenges us. Somebody told me one time, the only people that like change is babies about every 2 hours. Because we technically are resistant to change because we don't know how to process change. We don't know how to process something that we see going on that we've never seen go on before. And we begin to get all worried about, well, what's going on here? It's not the method. It's not the method. It's the message that is delivered about the saving grace and getting people to a Savior. I said six and I'm on four and I got to quit. Well, I already hit one of them. The press, the impossibilities, the complications of trying to get them to Jesus. There's too many things to get to right now. I'll just somewhere or another reel it in. You know the story. You know the rest of it. Jesus told him to take up his bed and walk. He walked. Pharisee says, well, who is he that, who can, he said, your sins are forgiven. Jesus knew that it was more imperative for that guy's, while he had his attention, for his sins to be forgiven than for him to receive a physical healing. You can go to heaven lame. You can go to heaven broke, busted, etc. But you can't go to heaven unsaved. And he said, thy sins be forgiven. The message got, he got the message across. You've got to get born again. You've got to get saved. You've got to give your life to Jesus. I got people online right now. I never know who's watching online. I never know. There's, I don't know everywhere it goes. But I'm just saying there, if there's a person that hears this message online, don't wait another day. Give your life to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus now. And even in this room, if you have never been saved, time is so short, people. Time is so, so short. And you say, well, I've heard that for years and years and years. That just makes it closer now than it was then. Don't wait another time. Don't wait another day. Don't delay another day in giving your heart and your life to Jesus. Let Jesus come into your room. Let Jesus come into your house. As you stand with me for just a moment, I want to pray for you. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. You're just concentrating on yourself and not those around you. Maybe today you're in this room and you say, well, I've never asked Jesus in my heart. I've never asked Jesus in my heart. I've never been saved. I've never been born again.